Me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many are thankful that you're here today? How many? That didn't sound very convincing. Maybe you're concentrating on where Ecclesiastes is. It's right next to Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. How many are thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? How many would rather be here? Raise your hand. How many would rather be here than in a hot air balloon floating over the sunrise, maybe at an Arizona desert, and the bottom of the basket just fell out? How many would rather be here? Yeah, and if that's the case, yes. Thank you very much for being honest, Jamin. I appreciate that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, written by the wisest and the richest man that ever lived, tried everything outside the wisdom of God to please himself, to be happy, to find a way, to make a mark in life. And he concluded with one thing: you can't do it without God. He concluded one thing: it's all vanity and it vexes my spirit, the righteousness that's in my soul. It makes no sense to me. And in the middle of this great letter that the preacher, Solomon, writes, he writes this passage in Ecclesiastes 3 that reminds us of time, that God has given to us a precious commodity. And it's so precious, he breaks it up in minute pieces. And he gives it to us as a stewardship. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He had made everything beautiful in his, let's say it together, time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Look down at verse 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the beautiful worship that we've just had. And we thank you for the voices that sang and for our hearts that were lifted up to you. And God, I pray that that's where you would find us right now, is still before the throne of grace, that we would recognize that this is where we're supposed to be today. And God, that we would recognize that you want our hearts, that you want our lives, and you want to be the very center of our existence. And so as we push that reset button today on the first day of the week, we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us. I pray, God, that you give your people understanding of the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rightly apply it to our life as we leave. And I pray, God, for the one that may be here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be that day, that time of salvation, that there would be a name written down in glory, that all of the heavens would rejoice. Lord, for the Christian that's perhaps burdened, maybe hollow, maybe heavy, Lord, maybe caring and worrying, I pray that today we would bring our cares and cast them before your feet. And in the light of a great almighty God who is love and who is good and faithful, I pray that we would trust you the more. I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing today to your people. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Imagine that a bank credits your account every morning with $86,400. Wouldn't that be awesome? No balance is carried over from day to day. Any balance is deleted every evening. What do you think you would do when you knew that you would not use all of your daily allowance? You'd go and draw every penny out, and you would keep it for yourself? Of course you would do that. We don't realize it, but we have such a bank. You have it, and I have it. The name of our bank is time. And every day, we are credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night, that which we have not used is debited from our account. The time bank allows no overdraft. There is no going back for a second chance. Time bank. The time bank allows no overdraft. The time bank does not allow borrowing from tomorrow, and of course, there are certainly no leftovers. Therefore, we must invest and steward our time wisely so that we obtain the best return in every realm of our life as God gives it to us. Our banker is God the Father. The bank president is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Our personal accountant and our teller is the Holy Spirit, who, deeply concerned about our spending, lives within us as our guide and our mentor. And I wonder if we listen to him. I wonder if we would take the accountant's advice. With these kinds of statements, we certainly are reminded that time is a precious gift given to every one of us by God. And to be good stewards of that gift, we must ask the question, Lord, how would you have me to spend the time that you've given me today? What is the most important directive that I can obey? In what ways can I invest my time so that you are most glorified? In what ways, God, would you have me to live so that your will is most benefited, that your name would be lifted up? The Bible reveals, I believe, three augmenting answers to those questions. The first of which, number one in your outline, is that my time is not random. My time is not random. Time is not something that simply exploded into existence. It was created by God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night." And listen, "And the evening and the morning were the first," what? "Day." Down in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Time didn't happen by accident. God created time, and he gave it to us. And so we understand that it's not random. Letter A, it is given by God. It's never a matter of choice. I'm sorry, a matter of chance. Every morning you wake up is a gift from God. How many believe that? God, should that morning include the strength to get out of bed? Should that morning include the understanding of your purpose in life and include a love for those around you and the ability to meet a need? Thank God, because he has given you that moment in time for which you're living. The Bible says in James chapter 4, I'm reminded, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" He says, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Every single moment, every second of my life has been given to me by God. It's not by chance. I didn't wake up by an oops. I wake up by the sovereignty of God, and he purposes my life. Secondly, it's not just gifted to me by God. Given to me by God. It is planned by God. It is planned by God every second of my day. Solomon begins this chapter by stating a very basic fact. There is a time and a season for how many things? For everything. The Bible says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now think about this statement for a moment. There's a time for everything under heaven. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Now that's often quoted, but seldomly fully understand. First of all, understand this. He was saying that man's life includes a variety of activities and experiences. He goes through this entire list, a time to be born, a time to die. By the way, that's everything in between there. You understand that. It's a dash, a time to be born and a time to die. And that dash in between is every activity and every circumstance that God deems necessary. Every one of these extremes has a filled-in meaning that only God knows. It's the purpose by which he's planned our life. Our time on earth, then, is marked by diversity. It's marked by fluctuation. It is not always the same unchanging monotonous routine, though most of us would like it, wouldn't we? Most of us would like it to be the same place, same thing. Same place, same place. Same thing, same thing. We would like that security, but God says, no, that wouldn't make you trust in me at all. You would begin to trust in yourself. Look what I've done today. Look what I've accomplished today. This is what I planned. I fulfilled the plan. I'm a pretty good guy. God says, no, you may be a pretty good guy. I'm a better guy. I am the perfect almighty God, and I'm going to make you to do one thing. I want you to trust me. I'm going to create your life with a purpose. Secondly, God is emphasizing that the variety of events and experiences in life are ordered and appointed by him. That begs the question, have I ever blamed God for what I've gone through? Have I ever questioned his sovereignty? Have I ever questioned the purpose of why, God, am I going through this? This is a wonderful truth that God has planned for every individual's life, and he has a plan for yours. He has a plan for yours today. He had a plan for it yesterday. He has a plan for it tomorrow. Things do not happen then by chance. Fate does not determine the days of your life. Chance does not occur in those days that you live. God has a specific purpose and a plan, and the events of our lives are in accordance with that plan, though we may not like them, though we may second guess them at times, things that happen in our life are planned by God. Solomon is stressing the point that God's plan for our lives includes ups and downs. And some of you may be in a downtime this morning. Some of you may be in an uptime, and you know the difference and you know the distance between those. And yet all of that is planned by God. I think of Miss Franny, who's getting ready to go to have chemotherapy here on Tuesday. And though she may not have planned for cancer, though Randy may not have planned for cancer, God did. Yeah, and he's his plan for you. Now, here's what we say, but Lord, I don't want that plan. It doesn't matter whether you want or not. What matters is God's perfect purpose. So I'm not to miss it. I'm supposed to readily accept it and say, God, I'm accepting this suffering. I'm accepting your plan. I may not like it right now, and I don't understand it fully, but I trust you, and I believe that you have a plan for my life. It includes mountains and valleys and pleasures and pain. And in his infinite wisdom, God knows that we need to face problems and trials that will stir us for one reason: to pray, to draw close to him. That's why we pray at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, God, give them wisdom to manage this trial. Give them wisdom not to waste this trial. Why? Because in God's divine purpose, he wants us to draw close to him. And many times we go through things that we feign and go away from God. And God says, no, that's not my plan for you. I want you to draw nigh unto God so that I'll draw nigh unto you. God has a perfect plan. And through those trials, we grow stronger and we learn to trust him more and more. Psalm 31 and verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Do you know what many times Christians' enemies are? Doubt, discouragement. Those are the enemies of faith. And God says, I want you to trust me. Job 14, 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Even Job, in the situation that he was in, with everything seemingly lost, he said, God, my times are in your hands. They've been determined far before I was ever born. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Listen, according to his purpose. Now, what is God's purpose? Well, God's purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of his son. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Now, if you know him, that's been his plan all along, is to conform you. And that for that to be accomplished, you must go through the extremes of life. You must go through the time of being born and the time to die, the time to kill and the time to heal, the time to break down and the time to build up. You've got to weep. And you've got to laugh. You've got to take the stones and you've got to gather them. You've got to cast them. All of the in-betweens. God says, I've ordained them so that you could be like my son, because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But we must go through those extremes of life and all the in-betweens. So my time is not random. Secondly, I want you to understand my time will be required. Now, I didn't read it on purpose. But I want you to look down in verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Did you see that? God requireth that which is past. Now, what does that tell me? Well, every individual must face God in judgment. And you will face him one of two ways. There's no one exempt. A day of accounting is coming for every person. The Bible says at the end of verse 15, God requireth that which is past. Every decision that I've ever made, every direction, every word that I've ever spoken, the Bible says God collects them and I will be judged by my words. Every action. Scripture reveals that there will be 2 days of reckoning for two different groups of people. First, those who have not believed on or received Jesus Christ must face the Lord at the great white throne judgment at that time. The Bible says that their sins will be exposed and they will be separated from God forever, all because of their unbelief, all because of their rebellion against God. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 tells us of that horrifying day. And the names that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be separated. They will be cast into the lake of fire forever. They will be separated from God. Now that, by the way, is true hell, that there is no hope, that there is no turning back, that there is a worm that dieth not and the fire is never quenched. That is their doom because of their unbelief. But there's a second day of reckoning. Those who have received Christ as Savior must face the Lord. We call it at the judgment seat of Christ, according to Scripture. All of us who are true believers will give an account for what we have done, listen, with our time. on this earth. Job 7 and verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Listen to this. Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Many of you that are working now or who have worked understand that there is normally an annual review. And you sit and you give an account for your work production, and you look at different things, and they open your file and they look and see if they've ever had to reprimand you or if you've got any accolades, and they open that up, and it's all for what? It's an accounting. As the days of an hireling, certainly you do not believe that as a child of God, you could live your life after salvation the way that you would like it and not have to give an account. Certainly it is not within your understanding that God would just say, okay, I've given you my son, and I've given you grace, and I've given you the precious blood, and I've given you my word, and I've given you the spirit, and you get to do whatever you want without an accounting. No. The Bible says, is there not appointed a time to man upon the earth, and not his days like those of an hireling? Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just for a moment? God says, I want you to see that your time is not random, and the time that you spend, the time that I have given you on this earth, I'm going to require. I'm going to have you give an answer to that time. 1 Corinthians 3, look if you will in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, speaking about the foundation of Christ and my salvation, if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved yet so as by fire. What's he saying? Well, if you look back over the beginning of the verse in 12, gold, silver, and precious stones, when they are given over to heat, they don't disappear. They get better. They're refined. They are those that survive the fire. They last for how long? For all of eternity. The works that I produce for God, the time that I spend, and I give myself to subjection to his will, and I say, you know, Lord, I want this to matter for eternity. You know, there's so much that we do that doesn't matter for eternity. There's so many things that happen in our lives on a weekly basis that are never going to make it through the fire of God. It's pathetic. We have more ways today to waste time than any other generation that has ever lived. And those are going to be tried. Some are going to be gold, silver, precious stones. The rest is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Now, we tend to think that everything we do in the name of Christ is going to last forever, but that's not the case. Because that fire is the holy fire of God. And he discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart, of every second, of every moment, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year that you have spent on this earth, and me as well. God says, I just want you to understand that the time that I've given to you is a gift. I want you to steward it. But I want you to know the way that you steward it, I'm going to require. I'm going to put it through the fire. As you think about your day, I want you to think about it in regards to your time and how you spend it, because it will be required of you and of me. We will give an account, first of all, of our time with God. Our time with God. You know, it's amazing to me. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah, the Bible says, was a just man, and he was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, of all that Noah had to do, of all that Noah was living amongst, the wicked generation that were doing that which is right in his own eyes, and God was certainly not pleased because he was going to destroy the earth and all the people. They was going to give an accounting for all of their sin. In all of that, the Bible says somewhere, somehow, Noah found time to walk with God. And he did so. I suppose one could argue that the reason Noah was perfect or right with God in a wicked generation is because he was walking with God when others were not. He became a preacher of righteousness. He took time, as the old song says, to be holy. Take time to be holy. You know, they say that the average Christian on a day will spend about 15 minutes somewhere between Bible reading and prayer. They say in an average lifespan of 70 years that a Christian will spend about a year, only a year and a half of that devoted to God. 70 years. And the accumulated time of me going to church, reading my Bible, and praying will only be a year and a half of that time. That's really sad. That's sad. And God says, no, you're going to it's going to be required of you. Noah took time to be holy. He was willing to draw nigh to God so that his hands could be cleansed and his mind would no longer be double-minded. Perhaps that's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 25 and verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Listen, on thee do I wait all the day." Time. It's throughout the Bible. And God says, I want you to know, I want time with you. Do you want time with him? We just sang a song, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." Would that word "long after thee," would that describe your desire to spend time with the Heavenly Father? Would that describe your desire to read his word to you? Would that describe the way that you come before his throne of grace to find that grace and mercy that you have in time to need? I would suggest that perhaps that would make a difference this week in your life. If you decided to take time with God, and by the way, you don't have to make time. All you got to do is take it. Because we've all been given 86,400 seconds every single day we wake up. God says, I want to spend time with you. The question is, do we want to spend it with him? And for that, I'm going to give an account. Not only am I going to give an account for my time with God, I believe I'm going to give an account for my time with my family and how I've used it. Now, we know that the Bible says that I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church, and I'm supposed to give myself for her. She's supposed to submit herself unto me as her husband. My children are supposed to obey and obey their parents in the Lord because it's right. We understand the structure, so to speak. But do we get the spirit of it? Because you know what all that takes? Time. It takes time to show love. It takes time to train in love. It takes time to train them up in the way they should go. All of that takes time. And the time that I spend with my family, is it going to pass through the fire and last as gold, silver, and precious stone? Or is it going to be burnt up? What's the time that I'm spending? Now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that all of our homes be monasteries. We all walk around, God is in his holy place. We don't have any fun. We don't laugh. You know, everybody walks around with this celibate mindset that we just have to be like robots and do all that. No, I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that we ought to put God in the middle of it. I'm suggesting that there ought to be scripture read on a regular basis. I am suggesting that there ought to be family worship and there ought to be a family devotion to God. I'm just simply saying that we ought to get Jesus Christ in the middle of our home, and for that, it takes time. We're going to have to take time to be holy on a personal basis. We're going to have to take time to be holy on a family basis. The time we have as parents must be divided, I believe, into two columns. One for the training of children to love God and keep his commandments, and the other to demonstrate to them what that love looks like. So just as the Lord Jesus took time to be with people, even the little children that the disciples tried to remove out of his way, we would do well not to squander the time that we have with our kids. My precious boy with golden hair came up one day beside my chair and fell upon his bended knee and said, "Oh, Mommy, please play with me." I said, "Not now. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." He smiled through tears and eyes so blue when I said, we'll play when I get through. But the chores lasted all through the day, and I never did find time to play. When supper was over and dishes done, I was much too tired for my little son. I tucked him in and kissed his cheek and watched my angel fall asleep. And I tossed and turned upon my bed. Those words kept ringing in my head. "Not now, son. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." I fell asleep, and in a minute's span, my little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor, no dirty fingerprints on the door. No snacks to fix, no tears to dry. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. And now I've got the time to play. But my precious boy's gone away. I awoke myself with a pitiful scream, and I realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed lay my curly-haired boy and sleepyhead. My work will wait till another day, for now I must find some time to play. Time, time, time is of the essence. It's been given to us by God and said, I only have today. God, I only have the second. What do I do with it? God, how would you have me steward the time that you've given to me? How would you have me steward the time with you? How would you have me steward the time with my family? And yet there's far more. I believe that we're going to give an account, letter C, for our time in service to God. Colossians 3 and verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Listen, "for ye serve the Lord Christ. For as much as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren," Jesus said, "you have done it unto me. My mindset and my eternal desire to serve God transcends anything else that may matter at the time, whether it's my family, whether it's in the church. For every Christian, there comes a time in life when we must decide, are we going to serve the Lord in his interests, or are we going to serve our own? Will I serve God or will I not serve God? Serving God is what we are saved to do, and the Lord expects us to steward that time in doing so, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. For with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, let me ask you a question. How much time did you spend this week with God? Let me back up. Let's say it a different way. How much time will you spend this week with God? I hope and pray that because of this message that you'll spend more time with God. My prayer, my desire for the people that we got to go with to Israel is that now they would have a greater desire for God. That they have a greater desire to get in the Word of God, to know him because of where they've been. And again, we didn't go over there to prove that the Bible was right, but it sure did help us to see some things we never saw before. And maybe because of that, they would get into their Bible. Because I know this, if a person gets into the Bible, they're going to know God. Amen. God reveals himself by this book. Ask the question, how much time would you spend this week with your family? And the only basis that we have to measure by is how much time we spent last week. How much time would you be willing to do to serve the Lord? You know, there are some who used to serve the Lord and no longer do. Some used to be very faithful and very dedicated. And now we've got to step back and say, okay, why? Why would they not continue to serve the Lord? Why would they not continue to do what God has asked them to do? All of that comes into account. My life is once spent, and that is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated throughout eternity. Adoniram Judson said, the same may be said of each day. When it is once past, it is gone forever. All the marks which we put upon it, it will exhibit forever. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It is too late to mend the days that are past. The future is in our power. Let us then, he said, each morning resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish it to wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone, indelibly marked for eternity. Oh, the time that we spend in service to God is going to come into account. It's going to be required of me. But there's another time that I want to challenge you with this morning that we're going to give an account for. And that's our time with the lost. Our time with the lost. Every breath of time that God gives you and I comes with a sovereign purpose. That is to share the heart of Christ with those who are in need. Every second of conversation spent with people who are lost will be brought before the Son of God in light of the cross of Calvary. My wife was reading to me some tragedies that have happened in the last week, people dying, thousands of people dying. I made the statement to my children last night. You know, we've kind of grown accustomed to it. But do you realize that thousands of people step into eternity every day? Some by tragedy, some simply because it's their time. But they die every day. Some people that you know between now and the end of the year will die. Some people in the last year and a half, you never expected it. You knew it was coming, perhaps simply by age or condition, but they will die. When we were in Israel, there was a dear man. I don't remember what day it was, maybe the third or fourth day that we were there. On the day that we went to Golgotha, his dad died. On the day that we were at where Jesus died, and the place where he rose again, his daddy died. And though it was a struggle, and though they had saw it perhaps coming, and though they had debated whether to go on the trip, nevertheless, he died. And it shocked them. Now, the question is, who do you know that is going to be like that one day? But more importantly, do you know where they're going to go? Do you know that the Bible says in Ezekiel 3 and verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I, listen, require at thine hand. Now, I'm not trying to be an overlord this morning. I'm really not trying to be someone who is gloom and doom and judgment, but the fact of the matter is, we don't live like we're going to stand before Jesus each and every day, do we? We kind of take the day for granted. We say things like this, well, today and tomorrow we'll go and buy and sell and get gain. And yet the Bible says all such rejoicing is evil. Why? Because thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. I have a responsibility today. The question is, what am I going to do with it? So, yes, my time is not random. It is planned by God. And yes, it will be required of me at the throne of God. But what's the point? Number three is the point. The point is that I must redeem my time as God gives it to me. Would you turn in your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment? And then we'll be done. Knowing what I know, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men. He understands and we believe in the imminent return of Christ, but do we really live it? We say that we believe this, but I understand this. Doctrine declares direction. What I believe dictates how I behave. And if I really believe that Jesus was imminently coming, if I really believe that my time was a gift, if I really believe that I'm going to have it required of me when I stand before God, don't you think my life would be a little different? I honestly believe there are enough people in this room who are thinking this. I have regrets of how I have used some time. And we would all like to have that back, but we can't have that back. So what's it for? To help us with the future. To help us manage the days that God gives us and understand what the Bible is trying to get into our hearts so that we may have a life that stands through the fire and we may have the gold and the silver and the precious stones, by the way, that God wants to reward us with. Ephesians chapter 5, look if you will in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Notice, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want you to notice that word redeem there. The word redeem in the passage is set in a specific context. Did you notice it? In evil days. Redeeming the time because the days are what? It's set in a specific context. When everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, is the idea. The word means, redeem means to make wise, sacred use of every minute for God's glory and for God's good. Redeem the time. Now, how many minutes did you redeem this week? How many minutes have you wisely used for a sacred purpose for God's glory this week? Because the Bible tells us that in evil days, no matter what everybody else is doing, I'm a child of God, I'm supposed to redeem them. I'm supposed to make wise use of every moment. I'm supposed to put it to the sacred purpose of God, which means several things. First of all, how do I redeem our time? Letter A, I need to use it wisely. I need to consider, Lord, how would you have me spend time this morning before I go to work? Lord, how would you have me spend time this week at work? Lord, how would you have me to spend time with my family this week? And then be wise to follow the leading. Many of us take it for granted. We don't schedule things and we don't ask God for things and we try to throw it together the last minute. And then what? Well, God says, did you use it wisely? Let's just pull out the ledger. Let's look and see if you actually did. I need to use my time wisely. According to Ephesians 5:17, we're not to waste the gift of our time foolishly or vainly. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, notice, not as fools, but as wise. Remember when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God? Seek ye first, to all of you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get us to prioritize our life. Why? So that we can rightly use the time that God has given to us. You know, we struggle in life when our priorities don't match up with God's. That's when we struggle. You struggle relationally when your relationships are not prioritized by God's grace, by God's wisdom, by God's word. I ought to ask myself, what does the Lord think is the most important thing in my life, and I should be busy to do it? What's more important here? What should be cut out? What is not worthy of the fire of God's holiness? And then I'm going to stand and give an account for it. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. His purpose in my life is to be glorified, honored, and for me to serve as a beacon of light by living by faith. So God, grant me wisdom to steward my day for your glory. Have you ever decided on Sunday night after church to say this to the Lord? Lord, would you help me to schedule my week so that you're glorified? would you please help me schedule my week so that I can have the maximum return for all the opportunities that you'll give me so that you'll be glorified and honored? What's wrong with asking? Well, I suppose the problem with asking is that God may tell us. He may tell us to do something different. I need to walk wisely. Secondly, I need to walk diligently. Look at the word circumspectly in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Redeeming your time in this life requires accuracy and diligence. That's what that word means. Accuracy and diligence. Don't be the Christian this week who uses your liberty from sin as an opportunity for the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you walk with a purpose, and that purpose is God's purpose. So I need to accurately define, Lord, what is the will of God for my life? According to your word, I'm going to judge, I'm going to sanctify and steward my time according to what you say is most important. Now, in Jerusalem, you have to walk through the streets with a purpose so you'll never get to your destination. It's just really crowded. Between the people and what they call traffic, it's not really traffic, it's more like chaos in between the curbs. And sometimes not even in the curbs. It really is just chaos. If you don't walk with a purpose, you never make it to your destinations. The crowds and the traffic, listen, will dictate your direction. They will sweep you away. Unless you know where you are going and you are determined to get there, you will never make it. And the same is required in the Christian life, diligence. That I would live accurately and diligent. Beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The word of God, or the Christian life is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of diligence. God, if this is what if this is what you want me to do, then I'm going to do it and diligently seek it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All of it requires effort. Now that's the problem. American Christians are lazy. We are so lazy. Years ago, I was not a fan of Amy Grant, but she wrote a song about fat, fat, fat little baby Christians and how we've just taken and taken and taken, and we're not willing to live according to our citizenship. And boy, that rightly describes the Laodicean age, doesn't it? Oh, we've got Christ. We're increased in much goods. We have no need of nothing. And Jesus said, no. You are blind and poor and naked, and you have need of what I can only give you. Wow. Walk circumspectly. Perhaps this week, would you determine in your heart this morning to say, God, I want to walk wisely. I want to redeem every second that you've given to me. Lord, I want to walk diligently. I know where you want me to go. And I know I haven't walked that way. And maybe I did, and I haven't in a while, but God, I've not given it my best effort. And this week, I want to walk diligently. I want to walk accurately. God, I want you to tell me where I'm wrong, and I want to diligently pursue you. And I want to do it according to your will. I don't want to stand before your judgment seat and have to say how much I've wasted. Rather, I want to redeem every second that you've given to me. 86,400 seconds God will give you tomorrow if he tarries. And if you stay alive by his grace, how am I going to steward it? I hope you'd steward it thirdly according to his will. The end of Ephesians 5 tells us, be not unwise, but understanding what the Lord's will is. What is God's will for your life? I know it. I can tell you what God's will is for your life this morning. Some of you may have walked in and said, I don't even know what God wants me to do. I know what God wants you to do, and I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? I hope that you write it down. I know it's God's will for you to be saved. I know that. I know that it's God's will for you today that if you have never come to Jesus Christ and repented of sin, it is his perfect will that today is the time for your salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, for he saith, I have heard thee in the accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You don't have to join this church to be saved, but you do have to come to Jesus to be saved. That's his will for your life. See, how do you know that? Because his will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, it's God's will that you be saved, but it's also God's will for you to grow in your knowledge of him. Now, you really can't do that if you don't spend time with him. How would you like it if you just got married and you were all excited about getting married, and after the honeymoon, your husband said, now, look, I told you I loved you at the altar. If anything changes, I'll let you know. and I won't be home for dinner every night. I'll give you a call every once in a while, and you know, you'll make it, and I'll see you, you know, maybe once a year. And what kind of relationship would you have? What kind of relationship would you have with someone that you would never spend time with? Pretty hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? 86,400 seconds God will give you when you wake up tomorrow. Should he tarry or you stay alive, how are you going to redeem it? Hopefully it'll be according to his will. He wants you to grow in your knowledge of him. He also wants you to tell someone how they can know him. The Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the will of God. By the way, he's never going to give me a specific will if I can't obey him in a general will. As Paul and Barnabas served faithfully, God says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to. He wants you to love and to serve one another. God's will is for you to increase in your love for God and decrease in your love for sin. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I wrote in my journal this morning, Brother Scott, I honestly believe that if I grow in love for God, that I will grow in my hatred for sin. I would not allow it in my heart. I would not allow it before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. And yet, how much time do we spend in front of the tube and people make a mock at sin? How much do we laugh at that God says, no, my son died for that? How much do we allow the social culture and the vileness of this world that we live in to affect the way we believe and perceive Christ as the anointed one? Oh, it's awful. Psalm 143 and verse 10. So teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Would that be our prayer this morning? Are you redeeming the time that God's given you? How would you put the right value on it? How do we value 1 year? Ask a student who failed a grade. How do we value 1 month? Ask a mom whose baby arrived prematurely. How do we value 1 week? Editors of weekly publications know the value of a week. How do we value 1 hour? Ask someone who lies terminally ill waiting for a loved one who is late. How do you value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane or a very important engagement that would never be rescheduled. How do you value 1 second? Ask an Olympic medalist, someone who just missed having an accident, or someone saying goodbye to a loved one that they will never see ever again. How do we value the time? God says, there's a time for everything under the sun, and it's only made beautiful in my time. And that's based on how we steward it. Father, we love you and we thank you for the time that you've given us today. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to be very careful with these next few moments. And God, as you've spoken to hearts, I pray that we would respond by faith, knowing that you're good. Lord, that you are not an enemy because you tell us the truth. Rather, the truth that you've given to us can set us free. Lord, simplify our life. Help us not to walk as unwise or foolish. But help us to understand what the will of our God is. Lord, help us to be good stewards of our time. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Haynes, I am not 100% sure that if I died today, my time was up. I'm not 100% sure that I would be in heaven. You spoke about the two groups. I don't know which group I'd be in. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. But I'd like to know that. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Haynes, that's my prayer this morning. Would you pray for me? I don't know if I died, I'd be in heaven, but I'd like to know. If that's your heart with nobody looking around, would you just slip up your hand real quick and put it down so I could pray for you? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure that I have a home in heaven should I die. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. Anybody at all? Real quick. I see that hand. Thank you for being honest. Somebody else? Pastor, would you pray for me? Now, I wish my prayer could save you, and it can't. But I would like to encourage you by praying for you. Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost. I don't know what group I'd be in, but I'd like to know. Pray for me. Anybody at all? Christian, can I ask you this morning as your pastor? sincerely before God this morning, maybe you would say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a better steward of my time before God. How many would say that this morning? Would you pray for me? Anybody lift up your hand real quick? All right, in a moment, I want to ask you, would you take some time here at this altar? Would you look back at this last week? Would you look forward, perhaps, should God, by his grace and mercy, give you another week? Would you look forward and make some decisions this morning that would dictate a different destination altogether? How do I avoid the same pitfalls? By looking back and adjusting my route. How many would say, Pastor, God's spoken to me specifically about my time with him this week. Would you pray for me as I enter a new week with him? Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand real quick, all over the building. Let's take some time to be holy this morning. In a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to pray. Christian, if you raised your hand, would you be an encouragement to this one this morning? Would you make your way to this altar? Because I'm going to ask them if they would come forward. I'm going to ask them if they would come and be saved today and let someone take the Bible. And I wonder if perhaps that would be an encouragement to them and they would be saved. And I wonder if God would be glorified with the time that we steward better this week. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I now pray that you please, first and foremost, God, I pray for these that have raised their hands, Christians who you have spoken today. And Lord, their time is precious to them, but we know now it's more precious to you. As you've given it to us, I pray that you would help us together, collectively, as an individual, as a family, as a church, to steward our time better. I pray, God, that we would not live this life foolishly and unwise, not knowing what your will is, but rather knowing and understanding it so that we may fulfill it. And I pray that you would help us to be better stewards of our time, give us clarity and simplification of our priorities. And I pray, God, for the one that raised their hand. Lord, I pray that you draw them to you. I pray that you'd save them today by the grace of Almighty God, through the truth that sets them free. Would you save their soul? Would you encourage them to come? Would you encourage them to leave here knowing for sure of their destination in heaven? I pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to have Brother Lee begin to sing, I Surrender All. And you would agree that that includes your time. Maybe this morning you could spend some time here at the altar and surrender that time to the Lord. As Brother Lee sings right now, you come on the very first verse.